Okay, let's unpack this. When you hear Zach Galifianakis, what immediately comes to mind? Is it the unforgettable character of Alan from The Hangover, with his uniquely charming brand of chaotic energy?
Definitely a strong contender.
Or maybe it's his hilariously awkward, sometimes like confrontational interviews between two friends?
Those are legendary.
Today, we're diving deep into an artist who has consistently defied easy categorization, carving a truly unique and often surreal path in comedy and far beyond.
And what's truly compelling about Zach Galifianakis, I think, is how someone with such a distinctive, almost avant-garde comedic voice managed to get such widespread mainstream recognition.
Right, and critical acclaim, too. It's quite the mix.
Exactly, simultaneously. So we're not just here to, dissect the laughs, although there are plenty. We want to explore the fascinating layers of his career, his persona, from his humble North Carolina roots and those early, often really experimental ventures, to his two Primetime Emmy Awards. And something maybe less known, his quiet acts of deep personal philanthropy. So our mission today, really, is to extract the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight from our sources, making sure you walk away feeling thoroughly well-informed about the complex, brilliant, and often surprising journey of Zach Galifianakis.
We've gathered a rich stack of sources that paint a wonderfully detailed picture, revealing the nuanced man behind the memorable characters, the innovative creator pushing comedic boundaries, and the surprising depth and introspection hidden beneath that iconic beard.
Definitely.
Prepare yourself for some genuine aha moments as we explore the unexpected and deeply original journey of Zachary Knight Galifianakis.
Let's do it.
So, kicking off our deep dive, let's establish the foundation. The man himself, Zachary Knight Galifianakis, he was born October 1st, 1969, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. At his core, our sources describe him as an American actor, comedian, and writer. Pretty straightforward on paper, but the name Zach Galifianakis, it instantly conjures a very specific image for most of us, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
For many, it's that instantly recognizable beard, often paired with a deadpan expression and maybe a pair of glasses.
Yeah, the whole look.
Immediately recalling his breakout role as Alan Garner from the Hangover movies. It's a look, a persona that's almost become synonymous with a certain brand of quirky, often absurd, uncomfortably honest humor.
Precisely. And that unique visual signature, combined with his distinctive deadpan delivery, it just immediately set him apart.
In a crowded field.
Totally. In an industry that's always looking for fresh talent, Galifianakis didn't just arrive. He arrived with this fully formed, instantly recognizable persona. And it wasn't merely his appearance, but the way he absolutely committed to his characters, embodying them with such unwavering sincerity, even when they were at their most bizarre or outlandish.
He never breaks.
Never. That's what allowed him to truly cut through the noise and stand out in a very crowded comedic landscape. This dedication to the bit, no matter how absurd, it's really a cornerstone of his magnetic appeal.
You think of Alan Garner's unwavering, almost sort of childlike belief in his wolf pack,
Exactly.
or his completely straight-faced, often inappropriate questions to like a president on Between Two Ferns.
It's incredible. This absolute commitment to the persona, even when it's utterly ridiculous, is what makes his comedy so magnetic and paradoxically so authentic. It's a rare skill, really, that grounds the surreal.
And it's not just about standing out, it's about being deeply recognized for that unique contribution, isn't it?
Definitely.
When we look at his accomplishments, the sheer volume of major accolades he's received, relatively early in his career even, is truly impressive. It speaks volumes about his impact.
Yeah, the list is pretty striking.
We're talking about two Primetime Emmy Awards, two Screen Actors Guild Awards, and a Critics' Choice Movie Award. I mean, these aren't minor achievements.
Not at all.
They place him firmly in the pantheon of respected, influential performers and creators.
Exactly. And one of the most compelling insights here, I think, is that these awards aren't just confined to acting in one type of role.
Right, that's a great point.
They remarkably span various facets of his work, from his compelling performances as an actor in both comedy and drama, to his groundbreaking and innovative work as a producer and creator, especially in the digital space with Between Two Ferns. This breadth of recognition strongly hints at a remarkable versatility and influence across different mediums. That's not always common for someone who started primarily as a stand-up comedian.
No, definitely not.
So it naturally makes us wonder, how does an artist achieve such a diverse range of high-level recognition? It suggests a talent that transcends a single category or genre.
It really does.
It speaks to a deep, almost instinctual understanding of comedic craft, and crucially, an ability to translate that unique voice into multiple successful and critically lauded formats. This broad overview truly sets the stage for us to look deeper into his origins and the foundational elements that shaped his truly singular career.
Okay, so let's rewind then. Let's go back to those foundational elements, digging into his roots and early life. Zachary Knight Galifianakis began his journey in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Our sources tell us his parents were Mary Frances, who was a community arts center director, and Harry Galifianakis, a heating oil vendor. You can almost picture that interesting blend, right? Practicality and artistic flair influencing his upbringing, a grounding in the everyday combined with an exposure to creative expression.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to put it. And that fascinating blend, it really extends deeply into his diverse cultural background, which is quite rich and layered.
Okay.
His mother, Mary Frances, was of Scots-Irish descent, a heritage deeply woven into the fabric of the American South. On his paternal side, his grandparents were Greek immigrants from the island of Crete.
Wow. Okay.
Bringing with him a different set of traditions and perspectives. This strong Greek heritage is something he was brought up with. He was baptized in his father's Greek Orthodox faith. So if we consider this, we can maybe begin to speculate how this unique blend of cultures, this confluence of Southern American sensibilities with a European immigrant's experience, might have subtly influenced his worldview or his comedic perspective.
How so, do you think?
Well, it could potentially offer a distinct lens through which he observes and satirizes society, perhaps allowing him to highlight absurdities or contradictions that others, maybe operating from a more singular cultural viewpoint, might easily miss.
Like an outsider's perspective, almost.
Exactly. Think of the way he often plays characters who are deeply earnest, but completely out of sync with conventional social norms.
Alan Garner again.
Alan Garner is the perfect example, operating on his own unique logic. This kind of cultural blend can create fertile ground for humor that's both deeply personal and somehow universally relatable, resonating with anyone who feels a little bit like an outsider themselves.
That's a fantastic point, that cultural tapestry and the idea of an outsider's eye informing his comedy. And it's interesting, too, he's not the only one in his family with a public presence or an inclination towards communication.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it adds another layer to his upbringing. He has a younger sister, Merritt, and an older brother, Greg. But then there are his notable relatives. His cousin, Nick Galifianakis, as a well-known Washington Post cartoonist, celebrated for his incisive and often darkly humorous arc.
I know that name. Yeah.
And his late uncle, also named Nick Galifianakis, was a prominent Durham attorney and politician who served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1967 to 1973.
Wow. Okay. So politics and art in the family.
Exactly. So we see a family lineage with a clear inclination towards public life and communication, whether through art, politics, or in Zach's case, comedy.
Yeah.
It kind of suggests an environment where intellectual engagement and maybe social commentary were valued.
That's absolutely right. It points to a family environment that valued intellectual engagement, public discourse, and perhaps even a certain degree of public service or commentary. Moving from that interesting family history, his academic pursuits and early detours are equally intriguing and, well, characteristic of his unconventional path.
Mm-hmm.
He followed a fairly traditional educational route initially, attending Wilkes Central High School, then Wilkes Community College, and later North Carolina State University.
PNC State, yeah.
Where he chose to major in communications.
A communications major definitely signals an early inclination towards media, public expression, maybe understanding how messages are conveyed, even if a career in, like, avant-garde comedy wasn't his immediate explicit focus at the time.
Right, it makes sense in hindsight.
But then there are these charmingly quirky details from his college years that just make you smile.
Like what?
For example, while attending college, he worked at a public access station, which is a perfect practical fit for a communication student, right?
Sure, standard stuff.
But then in 1991, we find him teaching a waltz class.
Get out. A waltz class.
Yeah. And here's where it gets really interesting, almost like a delightful premonition of his quirky career. He actually crossed paths with the iconic Mary J. Blige during that waltz class.
No way. Mary J. Blige took waltz lessons from Zach Galifianakis.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
It's such an unexpected, truly delightful, and perfectly Galifianakis-esque detail, isn't it?
It truly is. The waltz class story, while seemingly tangential to his eventual comedic stardom, It's a fantastic early glimpse into the spontaneous, slightly off-kilter world Galifianakis would later perfect. It speaks to an artist who naturally gravitates towards the unexpected, where humor often arises from a disarming sincerity in absurd situations. These early experiences, even the seemingly unrelated ones, were crucial groundwork, I think, for his eventual leap into entertainment. They subtly shaped the unconventional, deeply authentic artist he would become by exposing him to diverse people and, well, peculiar situations.
So from waltz classes and public access television to the gritty, tough world of early television and stand-up comedy, Zach Galifianakis truly started to forge his unique path there.
Yeah, the grind.
Our sources reveal his very first television appearance was on a show called Boston Common.
Remember that one vaguely.
And then perhaps surprisingly for some, he had a brief, like, 2-week stint as a writer on Saturday Night Live.
Wow, only 2 weeks. SNL is notoriously tough.
Exactly. Working on SNL, even briefly, is a huge deal for any comedian, a highly competitive proving ground. But what he proposed there, okay, it's pure, unadulterated classic Zach.
I need to hear this.
He's recounted an anecdote about proposing a sketch for the host, Britney Spears.
Okay.
Where the idea was that Will Ferrell would play a tiny bodyguard for her belly button, and they'd literally shrink Will down to fit inside.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is, wow.
And her legendary deadpan response was apparently just, yeah, that's funny.
You could just imagine the silence after that. Oh, that's brilliant.
It perfectly illustrates his already fully formed, unconventional comedic brain.
Right.
Right.
That Saturday Night Live experience, though short-lived, it vividly highlights his early singular comedic vision and his willingness, maybe even eagerness, to push boundaries far beyond what might be considered conventional sketch comedy.
Yeah.
It shows he was already thinking way outside the box, even if his wildly imaginative ideas weren't always immediately understood or greenlit by the producers.
Right.
It's a powerful testament to his unique mind and his commitment to his distinct brand of absurdity. And during this challenging period, he also took on a string of small roles in films, truly embodying the phrase paying his dues.
Yeah, the list is long.
It really is. Parts in films like Out Cold, Corky Romano, Below, Bubble Boy, Heartbreakers, even Into the Wild, Super High Me, Little Fish, Strange Pond, and Largo.
So a real mix.
A real mix. Mm-hmm. These minor parts weren't just filler. They were his apprenticeship, really. A laboratory where he experimented with different facets of his nascent persona, honing his craft, developing that deadpan delivery and physical comedy that would become his trademark.
Yeah.
Like, even in Into the Wild, which was a more dramatic role, he already showcased that quiet, almost sort of melancholic demeanor that would later add unexpected depth to even his most comedic characters.
Then came a moment that truly showcased his developing distinctive style. His Comedy Central presents special in September 2001.
Those were key back then.
Totally. And this wasn't just a straightforward stand-up routine, which was kind of the norm for those specials.
Right.
He innovatively integrated a piano segment.
Okay.
And then introduced a cappella group called the Night Owls, whom he humorously presented as his 12 ex-girlfriends.
Couples, of course he did.
Singing Eternal Flame by the Bangles while he delivered these wonderfully awkward, often self-deprecating jokes over it.
That special is such a prime early example of his truly unique, surreal performance style. It perfectly illustrates how he was already integrating music, absurdity, and this sophisticated self-awareness into the traditional stand-up format. It was a clear, unmistakable signal of the kind of innovative, genre-bending comedy he would continue to create, defying expectations. Following that, he even hosted his own VH1 talk show, Late World with Zach, in 2002. It featured friends from the vibrant Los Angeles comedy and music venue Largo, where he was a frequent and celebrated performer.
Right. Largo was a real hub.
Absolutely. And he also accumulated a diverse list of television roles around this time, playing Davis in the Fox drama True Calling.
I remember that.
Yeah. The eccentric Frisbee in Reno 911.
Blocks.
The character Alan Finger on Dog Bites Man. Fred the Homeless Guy on the Sarah Silverman program. The bizarre Dr. Vickerson on Tom Goes to the Mayor. And the very surreal Terry Green on Tim and Eric. Awesome show. Great job.
Wow, quite the resume even then.
Right. These early TV roles, spanning both comedic and dramatic tones, clearly demonstrate his incredible versatility and his consistent growing presence in the comedy scene long before he became a mainstream household name. He was building this robust and varied resume, often playing characters that blurred the lines between, like, the mundane and the utterly bizarre.
And his exploration of comedy and performance wasn't confined to traditional stand-up stages or conventional TV shows either, was it?
Not at all.
He also ventured boldly into music and mockumentary formats, really pushing the boundaries of comedic expression.
Yeah, the music video stuff is great.
He famously appeared in music videos, including lip-syncing with this disarming sincerity for Fiona Apple's Not About Love, and appearing alongside indie rock musician Will Oldham in the second version of Kanye West's Can't Tell Me Nothing.
Right, the one he directed.
Yeah. And he even released his own comedic hip-hop dance single in June 2006 called Come On and Get It, Up in Dem Guts. What a title.
Which, in another crooky collaboration, featured Fiona Apple's vocals.
These varied examples truly showcase his performance art leanings, I think, and his willingness to engage with music in a humorous, deeply unconventional way.
Yeah.
For Galifianakis, it's not just about acting in the traditional sense. It's about pushing the boundaries of what performance can be, blurring the lines between comedy, music, and, yeah, performance art. What's also particularly significant during this period is his involvement as one of the comedians of
Oh,
comedy.
yeah, that was huge for alternative comedy.
Totally. Alongside Patton Oswalt, Brian Posehn, and Maria Bamford, this was a periodic packaged comedy tour that made a deliberate and strategic choice to perform at live rock clubs instead of traditional comedy clubs.
Right, to reach a different crowd. Exactly. Their goal was to reach a different, often younger, and more counterculture-leaning audience, bypassing the established comedy circuit. Their groundbreaking tour was even meticulously documented in both a TV series and a full-length film, capturing this pivotal moment in alternative comedy.
That collective effort, the comedians of comedy, it was truly significant in the burgeoning alt-comedy scene of the early 2000s.
Definitely.
It powerfully demonstrated his collaborative spirit and a clear, intentional desire to break away from traditional venues and audience expectations, actively seeking out new spaces for comedic expression. It was about finding your audience, even if it wasn't the most obvious one, and challenging the very notion of what a comedy show could be. He also starred in his first leading role in the independent film Visioneers in 2008.
Right, the direct-to-DVD one.
Yeah, indicative of its indie status. And that same year, in a creative and humorous marketing move, he appeared in a web video series for Absolut Vodka, where he created this hilarious and spot-on parody of the Golden Girls.
Tackles. Amazing. These experimental and foundational years were absolutely crucial in shaping the distinctive, boundary-pushing artist who would soon reach global stardom.
Yeah.
They were his proving ground, allowing him to refine his unique voice and experiment with various formats before the big break.
Indeed. And speaking of groundbreaking work and foresight, we absolutely have to talk about how Zach Galifianakis was truly a pioneer in the realm of digital content distribution.
Right, this is fascinating.
His 2006 stand-up concert film, Zach Galifianakis Live at the Purple Onion, wasn't just another comedy special. It holds a very significant place in media history.
Why is that?
It was remarkably one of the very first original programs ever released by Netflix.
Wow, one of the first. Before Netflix originals were, you know, this huge thing.
Exactly. Before House of Cards, before Orange is the New Black, Galifianakis was there at the very beginning, helping to define what an original program for an online streaming service could even look like.
That is a truly fascinating detail. It really raises an important question. How does an artist position themselves at the forefront of a major transformative shift in content distribution, basically predicting or even influencing the future of media?
Yeah, it's pretty prescient.
It really highlights his early foresight, his willingness to experiment with new platforms, and his profound influence in the evolving media landscape. It shows he was always kind of ahead of the curve, not just creatively, but strategically too. He saw the potential for direct-to-consumer digital content long before it became the industry standard we know today.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And his forward-thinking approach truly cemented his status as a comedy game changer with the creation of Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
Yes, Between Two Ferns.
This Funny or Die web series became an undeniable cultural phenomenon. He conducted these hilariously awkward interviews with some of the biggest names in popular culture and politics.
All while seated brilliantly between two potted ferns.
Exactly, the premise is perfect.
And the guest list was just incredible, wasn't it?
Insane. It showed its immense reach and cultural impact. He interviewed everyone from Hollywood heavyweights like Jimmy Kimmel, Natalie Portman, Bradley Cooper, Will Ferrell,
Top-tier names.
to incredibly high-profile political figures like former President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Which were huge get.
Huge. And even acclaimed musical acts like Arcade Fire. And his interview style was utterly inimitable, unique.
Oh, yeah.
A masterful blend of typical interview questions, bizarre non sequiturs, cringe-inducing product endorsements, and sometimes, frankly, inappropriately sexual questions and comments.
Suckles. Yeah, he went there.
All delivered with that signature deadpan expression that left both the celebrity interviewee and the audience delightfully unsure of what to make of it all.
Absolutely. I remember watching that Obama interview just holding my breath.
Me too. You genuinely didn't know if the president was going to snap or just walk out. That tension was part of the genius, wasn't it?
Absolutely, that tension was the genius. This format masterfully showcased his deadpan humor, perfected the art of cringe comedy, and consistently created genuinely unpredictable moments. He often caught celebrities completely off guard, pushing them out of their carefully curated public personas.
Yeah.
It became more than just a web series. It undeniably redefined the celebrity interview. It proved you could be deeply funny and even insightful by intentionally being deeply awkward and challenging the typical media-trained responses.
And it brought him serious recognition, too.
It did. Significant, well-deserved accolades. He won a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Short-Format Live-Action Entertainment Program as a producer of the show.
Right, for the show itself.
Yeah, at the 66th Primetime Creative Arts Emmy Awards, a specific but crucial category recognizing the pioneering nature of Between Two Ferns in the digital realm. He also received Streamy Awards for Best Male Actor in a Comedy Web Series, and notably Best Collaboration, which he shared with Barack Obama for that incredible boundary-pushing interview.
Oh.
These awards weren't just for his performance, but for his vision as a creator and producer. He was making the thing happen.
So while Between Two Ferns cemented his status as a comedic innovator and a digital media trailblazer, another role would truly catapult him into mainstream superstardom, make him a recognizable global icon.
I think we know where this is going.
And that, of course, was his iconic role as Alan Garner in the mega hit comedy The Hangover in 2009.
Yep, the Wolf Pack.
And its hugely successful sequels, The Hangover Part 2 in 2011 and Part 3 in 2013.
What's truly fascinating here is the almost immediate and profound impact this character, Alan Garner, had.
Oh, huge.
He became instantly iconic, perfectly leveraging Galifianakis's distinct persona and bringing his unique brand of humor to a truly global audience. Alan was the character everyone remembered, quoted, loved,
Totally.
embodying this childlike innocence mixed with a chaotic, unhinged energy. This character resonated so deeply that Galifianakis was prominently advertised even in subsequent supporting roles.
Right, he became the draw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A testament to his undeniable breakout appeal and star power after The Hangover. And for this unforgettable role, he earned the MTV Movie Award for Best Comedic Performance for the first Hangover, solidifying his place as a comedic powerhouse who could command both critical respect and immense popular appeal. This mainstream success truly opened doors to an incredibly diverse array of projects, showcasing his full range as a performer and proving he was much more than just, a one-hit wonder or just that guy.
And what a range it turned out to be. Post-Hangover, Zach Galifianakis truly expanded his repertoire, proving his incredible versatility and dramatic capabilities across both film and television.
Yeah, he didn't just do more Allens.
Not at all. He bravely took on a variety of film roles that defied easy typecasting. In 2009 alone, the same year as The Hangover, he appeared in the animated G-Force.
Okay.
The quirky indie youth in revolt and the critically acclaimed drama Up in the Air, that shows an early willingness to explore different genres right away.
Right out of the gate.
Then in 2010, we saw him in the star-studded Dinner for Schmucks. The poignant, it's kind of a funny story.
Which was quite different.
Very different, and the road trip comedy Due Date alongside Robert Downey Jr. He also starred alongside Will Ferrell in the 2012 political comedy The Campaign, where their on-screen dynamic was just a masterclass in comedic interplay.
But it wasn't just a string of broad comedies, was it?
Yeah.
He truly demonstrated his dramatic depth and range with his critically praised performance in the 2014 film Birdman.
Ah, oh, Birdman, incredible film.
Incredible. Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. In this Academy Award-winning ensemble drama, He starred alongside powerhouses like Michael Keaton, Emma Stone, Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Holding his own and delivering this really nuanced, thoughtful performance as Jake, the producer lawyer friend.
He was great in that.
He was. This really demonstrated his ability to contribute significantly to ensemble dramas, proving his capabilities extend far beyond broad comedy and that he possesses serious acting chops. This raises an important question. How did he transition so seamlessly between genres and tones? From the outrageous, almost cartoonish Alan Garner to a deeply layered and vulnerable role in an Academy Award-winning drama.
It's quite a jump.
It really is. It speaks to a profound understanding of acting and character, demonstrating that his comedic persona is built on a solid foundation of performance skill. It allows him to modulate his delivery and emotional register to suit the material, whether it's a laugh-out-loud moment or one of quiet pathos.
Beyond live-action roles, he also became a beloved and prolific voice actor, which is yet another testament to his incredible range and the distinctiveness of his vocal performance.
Right, his voice is very recognizable.
Totally. He voiced the memorable Humpty Dumpty in Puss in Boots in 2011,
mm-hmm.
then took on the iconic villainous role of the Joker in the Lego Batman movie in 2017.
Which he was fantastic as. Very funny Joker.
So good. He was Mr. Susan Link in Missing Link in 2019, Ron's Gone Wrong in 2021, Felix Fishoder in the Bob's Burgers movie in 2022,
okay.
Krusty Trucker in Thelma the Unicorn in 2024, and he's slated to play the wonderfully eccentric Dr. Jumba Jukiba in the upcoming live-action Lilo and Stitch remake in 2025.
Wow, that's a lot of voice work. The sheer contrast between voicing a beloved villain like the Joker, who requires a certain theatrical menace, and then a charming, quirky, almost innocent character like Humpty Dumpty or Ron,
mm-hmm.
is just incredible.
Yeah, it really shows his versatility.
Absolutely. It profoundly demonstrates his ability to inhabit and fully flesh out diverse characters purely through his voice, which is an entirely different skill set from on-screen acting. It requires a mastery of vocal nuance, tone, inflection.
Mm-hmm.
And on television, he had a very significant presence beyond Between Two Ferns. He starred in HBO's critically acclaimed comedy drama, Bored to Death.
Loved that show.
Yeah, great show. Showcasing his ability to lead a series with a distinct, often melancholic comedic tone. He also famously hosted Saturday Night Live 3 times.
Right, we mentioned his writing stint, but hosting is different.
Totally different. March 6, 2010, and again March 12, 2011. These hosting gigs were memorable for some truly iconic and surprising moments, like shaving his beard mid-show for a sketch.
Which was wild.
Wild. And then on a later occasion, even shaving his head in a Mr. T-like style for a sketch that, surprisingly, never even aired due to time constraints.
Get out! He shaved his head for nothing.
Apparently. But it still became this legendary story among fans.
Only Zach would go to such lengths for a bit that never even made it to air. That's commitment.
Right. But perhaps one of his most significant and creatively fulfilling undertakings was the FX series Baskets.
Oh, Baskets. A masterpiece.
Ran from 2016 to 2019. In Baskets, he took on the demanding dual role of both Chip Baskets, a perpetually down-on-his-luck rodeo clown.
A French-trained rodeo clown.
A French-trained rodeo clown, thank you.
Oh.
And his twin brother, Dale Baskets.
Dale. Costco manager. Amazing.
Amazing characters. And more than just an actor, he also served as co-creator, writer, and executive producer for the show.
Right, with Louis C.K. and Jonathan Creasel initially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Showcasing his vision as a storyteller. This incredible effort earned him a Primetime Emmy nomination for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series in 2017, further cementing his reputation as a multi-talented force.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, he's had a recurring role in the highly popular Only Murders in the Building in season 4.
Oh, exciting!
Which is set to air in 2024, bringing his unique blend of humor to a whole new audience.
Baskets was such an enormous creative endeavor, wasn't it? A defining project.
Totally. It showcased his profound vision as a storyteller and his ability to carry a series with both deep comedic and dramatic depth. It allowed him to explore character, Chip Baskets, with significant pathos, vulnerability, and this grounded sense of reality, which was a distinct and powerful departure from some of his broader, more overtly outlandish comedic roles.
Right.
His SNL hosting gigs, on the other hand, highlight his continued love for live sketch comedy, improvisation, and his unwavering willingness to surprise, even shock, an audience with his unique brand of physical comedy and unpredictable antics. So with such a prolific and public career spanning so many different creative avenues, it's only natural for us to wonder about the person behind these unforgettable performances. Mm-hmm. What drives him? What does he value when the cameras are off?
That's a perfect segue, because now we're peeling back the layers to discover the man behind the beard, focusing on his personal passions, his private retreats, and his remarkably philanthropic heart.
Okay.
First, let's talk about his family life. Zach Galifianakis married Canadian charity worker Quinn Lundberg in August 2012 in a wonderfully understated ceremony at the UBC farm in Vancouver.
Nice. Low-key.
Very. They now have two sons together. Their first son was born on September 7, 2013, and in a move that truly speaks volumes about his priorities.
Yeah.
He actually skipped the premiere of his film, Are You Here to Be Present for the Birth?
Wow. That really does say a lot.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Their second son was born on November 7, 2016.
That detail about skipping a major film premiere for the birth of his child, it speaks volumes about his values and priorities. It shows a man who places immense, unequivocal value on family and personal moments over career obligations, public visibility, the whole Hollywood glitz thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a quiet but powerful statement that underscores his grounded nature. And his choices for residence further paint a picture of a man who actively seeks balance and quiet reflection away from the constant glare of the spotlight.
How so?
Well, he maintains a house in Venice, Los Angeles, and previously lived in Brooklyn, so he keeps a foot in the urban industry-adjacent world.
Right.
But what's truly indicative of his personal philosophy is that he also owns a working farm in Sparta, North Carolina, his home state.
Ah, back to the roots.
Exactly. He actively splits his time between the farm and his demanding work, stating publicly, "My farm is a place that I get to think clearly and pretend to know what I am doing."
Chuckles. That sounds like him.
Doesn't it? He also possesses a property on an island in British Columbia, Canada, near his wife's home country. These choices paint a picture of someone who deliberately cultivates spaces for peace, family, and introspection, actively stepping away from the frenetic pace of the entertainment industry.
So he's very actively cultivating a grounded lifestyle, valuing nature, family, and spaces for quiet reflection. It's a deliberate, almost philosophical choice, isn't it? To step away from the constant demands of the Hollywood machine and find environments that foster peace, creativity, and a strong sense of personal grounding.
Mm-hmm.
That balance is clearly incredibly important to him, a stark contrast to the often chaotic characters he portrays.
Absolutely. And this grounded, empathetic nature extends profoundly to his quiet acts of kindness and social engagement, things that often only come to light not because he seeks attention or publicity for them,
right,
but because others reveal them. One of the most fascinating and heartwarming examples here is his truly remarkable friendship with Marie Mimi Haste.
Oh, the Queen Mimi story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A homeless woman in her 80s who had, for 18 years, lived in a laundromat in Santa Monica.
Incredible.
Galifianakis befriended her, regularly bringing her food and, incredibly, bought her an apartment across the street from the laundromat, ensuring she had a safe and permanent home. This deeply personal story of generosity and friendship was only revealed to the wider public in that moving 2015 documentary, Queen Mimi.
That's just astounding. It's such a testament to his character that this was a private act of generosity born of genuine compassion that only came to light through the efforts of a documentary filmmaker.
Right.
It demonstrates a deep personal commitment to helping others in a meaningful, impactful way, rather than publicizing his charity work for personal gain or, you know, a photo op. He didn't just write a check. He formed a bond and fundamentally changed someone's life, all without seeking accolades.
It speaks volumes about his character, embodying a humility and genuine empathy that is often rare in public figures. He's not just making us laugh. He's actively making a tangible difference in individual lives,
mm-hmm.
and doing so with profound humility. In a different vein of social engagement, in January 2014, alongside fellow comedian Sarah Silverman,
okay,
he announced an intention to collectively raise $20,000 to help fund the Texas Abortion Fund.
Oh, okay.
This fund assists women in obtaining abortions in states with legislative restrictions.
Yeah.
The fundraiser itself was a direct response to the passage of Texas HB 2, a controversial piece of legislation that led to the closure of many clinics across the state, significantly restricting access to reproductive health care.
Right.
This action highlights his engagement with significant social and political issues, using his platform to support causes he deeply believes in and to raise awareness for marginalized communities. And it's important for us to note this, as always, as a factual report of his actions and motivations from our sources, merely conveying the information without taking any side on the political issue itself.
Understood. These personal insights truly reveal a man of depth, principle, and quiet conviction, complementing the widespread public recognition his diverse career has garnered. Now let's talk about that recognition, the impressive accolade roll call that truly acknowledges his distinctive and impactful career across various mediums.
Yeah, the award shelf must be pretty full.
It seems so. He's received Annie Awards nominations for Best Voice Acting in a Feature Production.
Right, for the animation work.
For his roles as Humpty Dumpty in Puss in Boots in 2012, and again for the Joker in the Lego Batman movie in 2018.
Those nominations for Annie Awards are particularly significant because they come from the International Animated Film Society. They validate his skill in voice acting, which, as we said, is a nuanced and highly specialized craft that often goes unnoticed by mainstream audiences and awards bodies. It's a testament to his ability to bring complex characters to life purely through vocal performance, demonstrating a mastery of vocal characterization. Beyond voice work, he also received a Critics' Choice Movie Award for Best Acting Ensemble for his pivotal role in Birdman in 2015.
Right, the Ensemble Award.
Which speaks volumes about his significant contribution to a critically acclaimed cast and his ability to elevate the collective performance.
And then, of course, there are the MTV Movie and TV Awards, which often reflect immense popular appeal and cultural impact, especially among younger audiences.
Mm-hmm, the Popcorn Awards.
Exactly. He won Best Comedic Performance for his unforgettable turn in The Hangover in 2010.
Deservedly so.
He was also nominated for Best Breakout Star for The Hangover, for Best Comedic Performance for Due Date and The Hangover Part 2, and for Best On-Screen Duo with Will Ferrell for The Campaign.
That's quite a haul from MTV. These Critics' Choice and MTV Awards really reflect his dual impact, don't they? Both as a key, respected ensemble player in critically acclaimed, artistically ambitious films like Birdman, and as a widely beloved comedic performer in blockbuster comedies that resonated powerfully with audiences around the world. He hits both highbrow and popular appeal.
Absolutely. But perhaps the most telling and diverse aspect of his recognition comes from the Primetime Emmy Awards.
Right. The Emmys cover a lot of ground.
He impressively holds 2 Primetime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Short Format Live Action Entertainment Program for Between Two Ferns, with Zach Galifianakis winning in both 2014 and 2015.
Which, as we discussed, were so significant for recognizing the pioneering nature of web-based content back then.
Exactly. He was also nominated for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Comedy Series for his memorable hosting gig on Saturday Night Live in 2011, and for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series for his deep and nuanced performance in Baskets in 2017.
Right, for Chip.
And more recently, he was nominated for Outstanding Short Form Variety Series for Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. The movie, Sorta Uncut Interviews, in 2020.
That list is incredible. It really raises an important question. What does it truly say about an artist's career trajectory when they are recognized across such disparate and distinct categories?
Yeah.
From acting lead and guest to guest hosting to pioneering digital content and even for feature-length extensions of web series.
It's incredibly broad.
Incredibly. His Emmy wins for Between Two Ferns particularly highlight his groundbreaking work in digital media and his significant role as a producer and creator, not just as a performer. It proves his influence extends across the entire creative process.
It truly underlines his role as a multifaceted artist and innovator, a visionary who shapes the comedic landscape. And to round out his major accolades, he's been recognized by his peers through the prestigious Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Ah, the SAG Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Actor respect.
Exactly. He won Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture for Birdman in 2015, an award that truly signifies the respect he garners from fellow actors.
Mm.
And looking ahead to 2025, he is listed as winning Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Comedy Series for Only Murders in the Building.
Wow, okay. These SAG Awards, especially for ensemble performances, powerfully underscore the deep respect he garners from his peers and his proven ability to not only deliver impactful individual performances, but also to elevate a cast's overall performance, contributing significantly to a harmonious and successful creative collaboration.
Precisely. From his experimental beginnings in alternative comedy clubs and early digital content to a highly decorated career spanning film, television, and pioneering web series, Zach Galifianakis' journey is truly a testament to artistic integrity, relentless comedic innovation, and, well, undeniable genius.
It really is quite a story.
Okay, so what does this all mean for us, the audience, and maybe for the landscape of modern comedy? We've journeyed through the incredibly multifaceted career of Zach Galifianakis, tracing his path from his roots in North Carolina through his pioneering work in digital comedy and culminating in his status as a multi-award-winning actor, writer, and producer. He has undeniably proven to be far more than just the guy with the beard from The Hangover. He's an artist who seamlessly blends surreal humor, unexpected dramatic depth, and a genuinely compassionate and private spirit.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, I think Zach Galifianakis exemplifies how an artist can rigorously maintain a distinct, often unconventional, and deeply personal voice.
Right.
While simultaneously achieving widespread mainstream appeal and significant critical recognition. That's a hard balance to strike.
Incredibly hard.
His remarkable abilities to navigate and excel in such diverse roles, from creating indelible comedic icons like Alan Garner, to delivering nuanced performances in dramatic ensembles like Birdman, from voice acting beloved characters to co-creating and starring in his own critically acclaimed television series like Baskets, all while staying profoundly true to his unique sensibilities. It's truly remarkable. It's a testament to his artistic authenticity. He truly carves his own unique space within the industry.
So next time you encounter Zach Galifianakis' work, whether it's his signature brand of awkward humor, a surprisingly poignant dramatic performance, or some new unexpected venture he takes on, take a moment to consider the rich tapestry of his background and the deliberate, often daring choices he's made throughout his career. How does an artist manage to be both a celebrated outsider and a highly influential insider in the often homogenized world of Hollywood?
That's a great question.
What unique insights does his particular brand of humor, rooted in authenticity and absurdity, offer us about ourselves and the often bizarre world around us? It really makes you think about the profound power of embracing your authentic, even quirky self in any creative endeavor and how that can lead to unexpected and lasting success.
Indeed. And what truly stands out to you from this deep dive into the world of Zach Galifianakis? We sincerely encourage you to revisit some of the films and shows we've mentioned today, perhaps explore his early stand-up specials, or the groundbreaking Between Two Ferns interviews online.
Yeah, definitely worth revisiting.
There's always more to uncover and appreciate when an artist is as complex, fascinating, and consistently surprising as Zach Galifianakis.